Welcome to Pax Europiana, the podcast about peace and prosperity in Europe. It's the beginning of 2022. On Monday, there will be, and that's the 10th of January, there will be this big Biden summit, but I have covered that topic already extensively. So I'm calling for the cancellation of that summit, but it will happen. I'm calling for enlargement of NATO. But in this one, I want to focus now on Kosovo. Because here's good news, next Friday, on the 14th of January, I will be invited for it's called Ask Me Everything, AMA on Reddit. If you are on Reddit, maybe it's interesting for you to join, because I will discuss about all the issues concerning Kosovo, Kosovo energy, Kosovo NATO accession, and all the important reform items which need to be done for Kosovo. And that I will basically prepare with this podcast. So here, very important, because we can really do, unfortunately, very little in terms of helping the Kazakh people. Obviously, we can punish the CSTO, that we can do. But we cannot really intervene and help. The Kazakh people are similar, even the greater tragedy was obviously the Chechenian War of 94 and of 99, the second one which Putin did. And obviously, you know, this is what the Russian way of treating the Muslim people. And they are bombing them and suppressing them. That's in the neighboring countries, or as well in Syria. And let's not forget, or also they have done it in Chechnya twice, and they are suppressing their Muslim people in Russia. And I hope one day there will be the moment for freedom for the Kazakhs and for all the Muslims who are living in the Russian Federation. But I would like now to say what we really can do is obviously now in the next week to start the enlargement process of NATO, to have Kosovo and Bosnia, two predominantly Muslim nations in the heart of Kosovo, in the heart of Europe, in the Balkans. We can invite them to be the 31st and the 32nd NATO member. And absolutely, that's what I argue all the time. No matter the religious aspects, this is really not about religion here. And it's not NATO about religion or anyway. It's just to show the difference that we intervened in 95 and in 99, too late in both cases, as you know when you followed my podcast, to save the Muslim people of the Balkans from the destruction of the so-called Christian, but I really doubt that anybody can call himself Christian when he is genocidal. You know, I cannot understand that concept, that anybody is of this peaceful and compassionate religion of Christianity and then commits himself to genocide. And never forget, the Nazis were a heathen, They were very anti-religion. They persecuted the religious leaders of of Germany and of Austria and in all the other countries. They had the unfortunate situation to be governed by this terror regime, and so did, by the way, the communists. And let's never forget that one. So I would never claim and say that anybody can justifiably say he is a Christian and then commit a genocide. He is certainly not. So no matter the situation on that one in the past, what I say now, I will talk about Kosovo. I will prepare the AMA, this event on Reddit. So about Kosovo here. Kosovo must be in NATO now. This must be very clear. And there is no freeze of NATO enlargement here. And who wants to do that is an enemy of the West. Is an enemy of the West. So, Mr. Macron, if you want to freeze, then you are part of the problem. And you are. And that I want to make very clear here from the beginning. Because who doesn't allow Bosnia and Kosovo, two nations who we liberated, who we nation built, and who are the success stories of the West, in NATO, when we anyhow have the ultimate security provider guarantee for these two nations via the I-4 and the K-4 agreements and the whole stability agreements which we did after the liberation. So ultimately, it doesn't make a big difference for us. It makes a big difference for the countries, and it makes a big difference towards the fact that Putin wants to put us an enlargement freeze on NATO. And you know, when we allow this, when we show that we cave in, when we show to Putin, okay, you want us not to enlarge, okay, we do it, yeah, and then of course he will be more brazen. And he will say every day, okay, I put this ultimatum on them. I asked them not to enlarge. They did it. Okay. So he will do half yearly mobilizations on the Ukrainian border and always blackmail us with the energy weapon, with the Ukraine threat of invasion, with his general aggressiveness and targeted killings and all the other things he is doing from his Soviet arsenal of brutality and of threat, and we are like paralyzed all the time. I cannot understand it. I cannot see the logic, and I think it's ultimately the failed strategy, as we have learned in history, because that's ultimate appeasement. So, and also Kosovo and Bosnia on the bigger picture doesn't matter so much ultimately for Russia, that they will start a big war for that, yeah. And anyhow, they have lost this confrontation in 95, and in 99, it's just a retreat kind of withdrawal battle that they want to have some dominance and spoil some of the progress via Dodik or via Vucic and via their blockage and their encouragement via Cyprus or Greece, where they are continuously lobbying on behalf of Serbia and trying to influence whatever some of these Russian, pro-Russian governments we have in Slovakia and Romania, which claim all to be our friends and our allies, but countries who have not recognized Kosovo are not fully with us. We should punish the Spanish, we should punish the Slovaks, we should punish the Romanians, freezing, and the Greeks and the Cypriots, by freezing the EU transfers. There's no doubt in my heart, we should clearly punish them and freeze the transfers after until they have recognized Kosovo. And then also Ukraine, Georgia, Bosnia, Moldova, and all the countries, I really love them all. But if you don't recognize Kosovo, then you are not fully in the umbrella of the West. Because we do things for a reason. If we in, let's say in Austria, I'm an Austrian, but you know, also America or Germany or Canada or Sweden, if we have done things in a rational and understandable and thoughtful manner, we have made decisions, and then I really significantly would like to know what is the superior insight into the Balkan affairs of Cyprus or of Spain that they don't follow this line. It's the same also with the neutrals. You know, what is the superior insights in geostrategic security situation in the future of Europe from the Swede and from the Maltese or from the Cypriots or from the Austrians, for that extent, that they don't join NATO? Because all these things which historically or in their internal fragility, you know, that's very specific things what the Spanish might have with Catalonia or the Irish have with Britain. But we have to be more rational if we want to be a united West, a united European Union. If we are just a kind of a combination of our inferiority complexes of the past and of our very specific internal fragilities which we then project on our European project, and we then basically block ourselves with all this minimal consensus which we just can reach because we have Catalonia or the Irish had a civil war to a war of independence against and British and Maltese had Mintoff and the socialist phase, and so on and so on, and then we are all totally divided and we don't work united, then it doesn't work. So more unity includes the recognition of the Republic of Kosovo by all NATO and EU allies, and everybody who wants to be that in the future, please do that. That's for the bigger picture. I would also address some of the ongoing issues in Kosovo, because I was there now in December again, end of November. It was very interesting to see. It's actually quite booming economy. Kosovo really works. The people treat the land with respect and they build and they develop it. And it is really a success story. When you are there, you see the dynamic of the centers. You see the urban development is very rapid. Okay, it can also be a little bit more, how can I say, structured, but the things are getting much better now after the municipal elections. There's new leadership. Things are really going very decently there. You would be surprised. Visit Pristina, but also Prizren, Peja, and Ferizaj. It's really getting impressively better, better than it ever was in the history, that's for sure. But some of the things are again connected to the problem of energy. And here we have to discuss, and I want to discuss now, pan-European issues together with Kosovo issues, because they are connected in some aspects and they are very similar. Because what we have, of course, we have a completely failed energy strategy in Europe. Too much dependency on Russia. And I was advisor in the European Parliament already in, it was in 2000 I started. I was there until 2004 and then Secretary General of SME Union. I remember the conversations with my MEP from Austria, Mr. Rübig. It was always about European energy independence, breaking off our Russian links in the energy sector. And to be fair, we have achieved some things. We have built more infrastructure. We have done all these regulatory packages, which have been so decisive in getting the more united energy market. But we have still to this moment not a fully united energy market. Yeah? What I promote since years, for example, is united gas purchases, yeah? United uranium purchases. Yeah? But let's stick to gas, yeah? An agency for gas purchases, because we have the big problem that all countries buying energy individually, and Putin is bribing each the prime minister who is bribable and weak, like Orban is the worst example, but it goes in all countries, yeah? And they have this 1% of the feedback, of the kickback available for the political class of that country. And if they fund the AfD or the Linke or Orban or Jobbik, you know, or some Polish extremists, yeah, that really doesn't matter for Russia. And that's how they do it. And they do it since 20 years, maybe longer. And they have always done it via the embassies that they were funding European politicians since the 19th century. And they are going to do that in the future as well. But of course, if we rationalize it and we unified gas purchases, transparencies in the purchases, and then everybody does it together, there can be the Corepair in Brussels can decide about that one. But the best would be, of course, an independent gas agency of the European Union, which is handling also exploration. For example, what we have now in contested waters between Turkey and in the East Med, that can be in one agency also to manage and to administer the exploration, but mostly also the gas infrastructure, obviously, and to have united gas infrastructure, and also to have united gas purchases. Yeah? Not the member states, state companies, and all the corruption going on there. That is not the way to do it in the 21st century, and it's also very expensive for the taxpayers. It's very corrupt and dirty. It kills, whatever it makes our, it taints our political system via the corruptive opportunities, which are then, of course, you know, ultimately it's also a blackmail game. Russia is offering it to that party. If that party doesn't take it, then the other guy, maybe the successor takes it. Hello, Austria. Or then the opposition takes it. Yeah. You always find, when you have many millions to offer, you always find a taker, and it distorts the political competition if one political party has millions more than the others from black sources via Russian gas kickbacks. That's, of course, a big problem. And then additionally comes the whole, you know, the lack of transparency in the market. And if it would be done on a European-wide level, that is much better. And it's maybe not the biggest market, but there is not a real market because there is just basically one big supplier. And then we have 27 or with the smaller countries. Some countries have less gas, obviously, I know that, and some countries have more gas, and so that's also a question of the pipe system. But nevertheless, it's a really big problem, and we should have a unified gas purchasing system. It is obviously also bureaucratic, but much better than giving it to the having it like the state prime ministers doing their corruptive manipulation and this disaster game of the last 50 years. It's really very annoying. Yes, and also we shouldn't have any nuclear power from Russia, because now it's a big topic here, taxonomy. Taxonomy, I want to explain, is about the funding opportunities, what is green, what is not, what the financial market should fund in the future. And it's also very much connected about the public funding for the specific energy sectors. EU Commission has now proposed that nuclear and also gas can be also funded under these green guidelines. And that's obviously for the French, they love nuclear, the German love Russian gas, and so they made the compromise. But that's not a very good idea, because our most important priority should be to reduce our dependencies from Russian nuclear, no uranium, no Rosatom, and no gas from Russia, no coal from Russia, no crude oil from Russia. And there are other suppliers. If Kazakhstan falls away, now we have Australia, we have Canada for nuclear, we have Westinghouse or Framatome from France. They can build the Finnish and the Hungarian and the Czech and the Slovak and the Bulgarian nuclear powers. Yeah, of course, maybe they need to adopt a bit, you know, because the Soviets have different technology. But let's adopt them to Western technology. It's anyhow not so safe, the Russian-Soviet stuff, yeah? I don't want to live close to a Russian-supplied nuclear power. I prefer Westinghouse or Framatome. And, you know, we are not... Okay, it would be in a perfect world, maybe without nuclear, without any gas, yeah? That's, of course, not possible short-term. But first priority is no Russian gas. And here I come back to Kosovo. Kosovo has a lot of coal. So let's burn the Kosovo coal, because then we have this anti-coal lobby here in Europe. And Greta Thunberg and her acolytes, they're saying we shouldn't have any coal, we shouldn't use coal, we need to end coal because of climate change. And they're getting kind of excited here. But then we buy more Russian coal and we destroy the Russian environment and fund Russian aggression with all that money that we pay for Russia. It's 300 billion euros transfers in the energy sector to Russia. And that buys a lot of tanks and a lot of supersonic missiles. And we are funding our own aggressor. And that's really very bad. And then we do not burn our coal. We have very little uranium in Europe. Okay, good, that we have to import. Let's get it from Australia. Let's have a free trade agreement with Australia. With Canada, we luckily have it. Just some stupid non-ratifiers, like actually Germany, have not ratified. Okay, but it's in force, yeah? But let's get it the uranium from our allies. There's uranium in Africa. There's uranium in Australia. Let's get it from there. And let's conclude free trade agreements with these countries. This is our shame that we don't have them. And it's also one of the reasons why we don't have them, because probably the Russian lobby in Brussels is blocking this free trade agreement with Australia. So the enemy is not nuclear, the enemy is not coal per se, the enemy is Russia. And here we have to define and deduct our policy from our strategic situation. And not climate change is the biggest disaster ahead, but Russian tanks are killing, concretely. They have killed 14,000 people in Ukraine. They are killing now in Kazakhstan. They have killed many people in Belarus. And this is the real danger for Europe and for the free world. And we have to contain it by importing less. So coming back to Kosovo, what it means. Obviously, we have to use the enormous resources Kosovo has. And obviously, we have to have coal-powered plants in Kosovo when there is coal. I mean, it's the most logical thing. It's not the enemy coal. Of course, you have to burn the coal on European environmental standards. Of course, you have to have a cleaning system into the coal. And of course, you have also to have higher energy prices in Kosovo. Because what is impossible is that Kosovo boasting the cheapest electricity prices, then we have the abuse in this Bitcoin mining, which is speculative and useless and wasteful. And I'm happy they have forbidden it now, but that's a bit of a rough measure to forbid it. But nevertheless, it is the good policy is decent and it must be socially stable, and there must be block exemptions, and that's all very well regulated in the in the energy community. Look at energycommunity.org. You find all the regulations, you find all the agreements, you find all the analyses, and it's all there. Also, how to have socially adjustable and reasonable energy prices for the poor, to have affordability, but also not to have subsidies towards the broader consumers and small business communities in an unfair way. Because then you have supply problems. And now we have, since end of December, again an energy crisis in Kosovo. And imagine, when I left Kosovo in 2016, in January, it was the good news was there. I said, personally met the people at one trade fair from the Contour Global. And it was the big talk in town that this American-British giant in energy has been supported by the Americans coming into Kosovo to do a coal-powered thermal plant. Obviously, that was a problematic with a concession, because I'm against concessions in the very strategic areas. And that strategic areas, and I call for that as well, we need state-owned power projects. Because you can later privatize them partly, as we have done it with Verbund. I call it the Austrian model. But you need in the beginning, when it's very complicated, high political risk and very expensive then for the consumer, it's much better the state does it himself. And here it's very easy. What I propose, because now then Contour Global, it failed because of a lot of pressure on them against coal, but also because it was very complicated politically and everybody was against it. Some people don't like to exploit the Kosovo coal, and some people are against foreign investors, and some people think it's too expensive. And so ultimately Contour Global has left. And actually, just to conclude that thought, now it's 7 years later, and now in 7 years you can build easily a coal-fired power plant of 500 megawatt, and it would have been very, very easy to have that power plant finished and producing now. And what happened now, because Kosovo has Kosovo A, that's one block, and then Kosovo B with two blocks, or Kosovo A and B, it's both have, to my best knowledge, I think 350 megawatt, and that's 700, and there is a little bit of additional production capacity in renewables, a little bit of small hydro, and now they have, of course, in the last decade, has been also some wind energy and some solar energy, but still neglectable. And Kosovo in general needs between 800 to 1,200 megawatt. Yeah? So that's my recollection. I think it's about like that. So in a very good moment, they can cover it with their own production, but mostly Kosovo needs to import, and that's why I have also called so often for the merger of the Kosovo state company KEK with the Albanian one KESH, because KESH, they have is for Albania Shqipëria, and they have this hydropower capacity. In Albania, on the contrary, does not have any decent coal reserves nor any kind of coal power plant, but they have a very strong hydropower sector, and they have about the same, I think, 1,200 or 400 capacity of hydropower. And so combined, that would be a very good mix, the coal energy and the hydro energy. And then that would make much more sense, actually, to have a united energy company, 50-50 by both governments. But unfortunately, the relation between the prime ministers are not for that. So that will be not going on. So what I call for is very simple. KEK, the state-owned company, to have a capital increase by the government, and to build another block C itself. This is not so complicated, because that's standard technology. And also there are a lot of decommissioning of coal power plants now in Germany and in other countries in Europe. So basically you buy an old power plant from Germany or elsewhere in the EU, and you transport it more or less as it is. Yeah, that's of course logistically a big thing, but this is absolutely doable and possible. And you're decommissioning it from Germany, and Eastern Germany has a lot of them, and they are relatively new, and they have been operating according to European standards. Yeah? That's much better than what Kosovo A and B are doing at the moment. And so I call for this. And actually, I'm calling for Kosovo C, D, E, F, G, H, L, N, and so on. because there's a lot of coal, about 14 billion tons or something like this, so really huge amounts in Kosovo, and Kosovo can supply a lot of energy to the whole of southeastern Europe, possibly really be one resource for the whole of Europe. And we then have to import less dirty Russian coal, because Russian coal kills, and Russian gas kills, and Russian nuclear kills, not only in Chernobyl, but also because this revenues, the 400 billion, 300 billion every year, transforms Russia energy sector, helps, of course, to buy all these tanks and supersonic weapons. And so we are funding our own enemy. And in this conflict, which Russia has since, basically since Putin is in power, but very hard against us since 2007 and 8, especially since the Georgian War. So he is bent for revenge and for reconquista, whatever he does here now, and we are funding it. This must stop. And one aspect of this, no, of course not all aspect, because Kosovo doesn't have enough coal for the whole of Europe, but we need to change our energy politics in Europe. We need to burn our own coal, of course, on good environmental standards. We need also to maybe accept higher energy prices, but not to fund Russia more, but to cut Russia off our markets, as a response to their constant threat of war, to the aggression against Ukraine, to the land grab in Ukraine, in Donbass and in Crimea, to their brutality in Belarus and in Kazakhstan, to their brutality against Russia itself. Navalny is rotting in the jail. And we are buying Russian coal. And we don't use the Kosovo coal. And how can anybody understand our logic? In the name of some vague struggle against the distant enemy of climate change, which, yes, there is climate change, but we can burn coal decently enough in high level of cleanliness and on European standards, and we can still produce our own coal, and we don't have to destroy the Siberia. Because the way Russian energy is exploited out of these uranium mines they have, out of gas mines and crude oil, the whole of Siberia is burning. And we destroy, that's much more disastrous crime against humanity and then the way we burn coal in Kosovo or in Poland. Poland also has, now for billions and billions, we are transforming away from coal in Poland and just to buy and import more coal from Russia. I mean, this is high treason. This is so bad. I always ask myself, is Greta Thunberg a Russian asset? Is the whole of the Friday of Future, is this funded by Russia? I mean, it's serving Russian interest only. And it's a very big disaster. So we have to make our strategic choices our first priority. Do we want to be independent of Russia? Do we want to buy a lot from Russia, as Olaf Scholz says, in order to appease Russia? The logic of Ostpolitik, of Willy Brandt, we engage Russia, we buy a lot, and we fund Russian global aggression? Because this is what happened in the 70s. Yeah? It was our weakest and most terrible period. The left in Europe, they love Willy Brandt because they think Olaf Palme, Willy Brandt and Kreisky, they were so wonderful and they were having such a wonderful, wonderful policy. But in reality, that was very dramatic and that was a really big mistake. And we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't continue Ostpolitik. That means buying from Russia and buy the kind of appeasing Russia, and then they are taking with the money somebody else, which happened in the 70s. Yeah, and that is the big problem. So we have to use our own energy resources, and Kosovo is one part of the puzzle. And I call for Kosovo to really build more of its energy, to use the resources they have. Every country and the whole history of Western civilization and of industrialization and of this enormous success of the last 250 years, yeah, because the world was, and the numbers are always striking, we had beginning of the century only 1 billion and people, and beginning 18th century, 500 million, and that was in most of the history like that. Now we can feed and supply and have, for most of the 8 billion people, we have a very successful economy. Of course, it's not perfect because we have all these political crises. Very many of them Russian-inspired, yeah? Like Syria and other places. We have, we need at that moment to be very clear to have successful energy politics and to reduce the Russian involvement in that one. And that is my conclusion here. And we need to be more strategic in our thinking. And Kosovo must be a central element, at least for Southeastern Europe, in, sorry, and that was my line of thinking, sorry. A country like Kosovo, which is relatively poor, one of the poorest countries of Europe, while you would be surprised how developed, sorry, they need to use their own coal resources. This is very important. You cannot jump into the 21st century and only say green, because there is not enough water resources, and there is also been abuse in the hydropower resources. Yeah? So you need to deploy and exploit the Kosovo coal. You need to do it in European standard, with European technology, with European partners. And our wrong policy to bedevil the coal on which our Western civilization is built, yeah, and then export it to Kosovo and impose it on Kosovo, has led to the energy crisis we are at the moment, together with the wrong regulatory approach to keep Kosovo electricity very cheap, because you cannot keep things very cheap when you have very lack of supply, because somebody has to pay. So you need a more regulatory, reasonable approach in the energy price, to have higher energy prices, obviously socially assisted. That's very important as well. But you need to make sure that you have more production, and where to produce, with what to produce energy in Kosovo, obviously with coal. That will make Kosovo rich, and that will reduce many of the imbalances and also the bottlenecks in production and in manufacturing for industrial development. This is very important. So Kosovo A, B, C, D, E, F, G. That's my line here. And I call to do it as state-owned and to government-funded, because it's all this political risk and all these issues. They are very competent. I know many of the management of CAC myself from a visit I was there and from other occasions. And best regards if they hear it. And I say, you are competent. You can do it. The government should give you the money. You take one of the old decommissioned power plants and coal from Eastern Germany or elsewhere, buy it there on the market, bring them to Kosovo. And if the ERB gets crazy, they are anyhow funding everything for Serbia and giving only token to Kosovo. So let's build it there and let's export the electricity, because that will be very nicely welcome in the grid, in the European grid for electricity, and will be good business for CAC. Will also reduce, then give possibility to have maybe also cheap energy subsidized. I'm against that. But it will be very good. It will, CAC will have then the possibility of building more of the power plants. I was there northwest of Pristina. It's a huge coal field. And there's another one in the west in Tukacini Basin. This is huge coal fields, yeah? Let's deploy them and let's exploit them. Let's get Kosovo the opportunity to be a rich country as well with its natural resources, and let's transform them in energy, and let's not be like more green than Greta Thunberg. This is not the task. Let's do it on a decent filter basis, obviously with decent environmental standards. That's absolutely possible. 21st century technology is possible. But let's get it done, and let's get it done fast, because I'm very sorry to hear in Christmas time now, 2021, to my friends in Kosovo have power shortages, power outages. That's a tragedy in 2021, 2022 in Europe. That is very sad. And I think it's time to get this done by better policy. Yes, coal for Kosovo and coal for Europe. And yes, and that can be done on European level. I'm absolutely for that, and I want to thank you very much for your attention, and energy for the Balkans. And that's what I very strongly believe in, based on the domestic available energy resources. And we have to do it exactly like that. So thanks a lot for that. And wherever you are, buy as less Russian energy as you can, because that's funding aggression. Thanks a lot for listening. More to come from Pax Europiana in the coming days. Bye.